This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steerin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By DC Waste and Recycling. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Football season is officially underway now, as we have 1 week in the books, and it was a strange night just from the standpoint of how cool it was. Cool and wet across most of the area last night for week one of the high school football season. The games we had on WSMI FM 106, Carlinville shut out Hillsboro 35-0, and Staunton blanked Litchfield 48-0. The other games in the South Central Conference last night, Vandalia survived a big-time scare from Gillespie 30-22. Pena came from behind and beat Greenville 28-21, and Roxana beat Southwestern by the final of 20-6. We're going to be talking with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday in just a moment here on Sports Saturdays. The Cavaliers off to a 1-0 start on the season, a senior-laden club for the Carlinville Cavaliers, and they had a very businesslike approach to last night's game. And joining us on the phone right now is Chad Easterday. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing well, and it's always nice to get the season off to a start. And in your 11 years, do you remember a week one that was so cool?
No. That, you know me, I don't like the cold weather anyway, so I had a hoodie on and the whole nine yards last night. So it was kind of a different atmosphere than what we're used to.
It really felt different. Felt more like a late season, early playoff game last night in terms of the weather. And I thought your field held up really well for all the rain that came down yesterday.
I tell you what, we've had field issues over the years, and we have some clay in there, and we normally cuss the clay like crazy because it's hard to grow grass, but it's good when it rains because it runs right off. So, yeah, our field was in really immaculate shape considering the 2.5-3 inches we got. So,
Chad, as you have watched the film, I'm sure, of last night's game, just kind of your overview of your team's effort last night.
We didn't have as many mistakes as a first game anticipation, so I congratulate those 18 seniors. I thought they took, I just heard you say, a business-like approach to it. Nobody seemed to be too high or too low in that aspect. We got to clean some things up on defense. I thought Hillsboro did a really good job. We weren't ready a little bit for some option football responsibilities, that sort of thing. But overall, very pleased, obviously, to get a win, and a big thing is get the goose egg on the other side of the board.
Absolutely, and that's always a great way to start the year with a shutout victory at home, no less. And offensively, Chad, your spread attack last night, so many different weapons, so much speed. Just kind of talk about, is that kind of what you expect from your offense as the season moves along?
I think we have this, you and I have talked over the years, this evolution of the spread offense and how different coaches want to view themselves as a spread team. We still view ourselves as take what you give us type of offense. And I thought Hillsboro's game plan was really good. It forced us to throw the ball a little bit more than maybe we wanted to, or I don't really know if that's the correct statement, but we tried to take what they would give us. I thought Kyle and Jarrett connected on a few passes. I thought our line did a great job with pass protection. So I was very pleased in those aspects of it. Next week, as you and I talked, we threw for, X amount of yards. It could be flipped next week, but we don't know until that happens.
And that is the sign of a good offense, the ability to adapt to what the defense is trying to take away and go the other direction. You mentioned Jarrett and Kyle. Obviously, they've had phenomenal careers, and they're set up for monster years. But as Carl and I were calling the game last night, it just seems Jake Ambuhl, maybe the stats don't bear it out at the end of the night, but that kid just makes a bunch of plays for you on both sides of the ball.
Well, I tell you what, yes, he was the one last night. We have four others. Jake is that silent guy behind Kyle that just kind of gets those 6 yards that turns him into 12. I think you're going to hear Colton DeLong's name, Nick Walton, Will Walton. The attack of who to guard and where to put people and how to put matchups. is really kind of unique for us this year on the chess match between the other sideline and us. So Jake's number was there last night, and he did a good job. He's obviously put on some size and some muscle. And it really makes that X factor.
I thought a lot of your kids looked bigger, stronger, and faster than a year ago.
Yeah, we had a really good off season in terms of the lifting and that sort of thing. So, you know, that comes with some senior leadership, as we have 18 of them. So I thought our front guys did good. We rotated in and out pretty good. Those types of the game last night were really clean, which is nice to see, because sometimes you get a little – I don't know. It's kind of hairy first game. As you've called enough of them, we didn't have to waste the time out for subbing and that type of thing. So I was very pleased with our team on that aspect.
Chad, talk a little bit about your thinking. Tucker Hughes has obviously had a very nice career for you as he entered his senior year, but he's playing defensive end this year. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have we've always liked those speed guys on the edge. So, you know, he played a little nose guard for us last year in a few sets and played some outside linebacker. We put a couple – speedy guys on the edges because of our ability to play the size inside. So we've kind of morphed and adapted there a little bit, but he's so quick. He's a wrestler. You know, he's very hard to block, very hard to get your hands on, that type of kid. So, you know, he's that X factor like we talked about, too, on defense. And, you know, he did a really good job last night.
Speaking of hard to block, Hillsboro might have one of the toughest kids to block in all the conference in Jordan Gregg. He's a handful.
Yeah, I tell you what, they moved him around last night and used him as a tight end. It's hard to cover him in space. They tried to get some matchup differences on him, and you know, he's a very good athlete. He's a seasoned athlete. He never gets out of control. He's got good body control, and so we knew that going in. We were just trying to hope somebody else would have to beat us. So that was our game plan.
Well, you got off to a good start with the victory last night over Hillsboro, 35-0. Now you go to Gillespie next week, and the Vandals had their hands full with Gillespie last night.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of it yet. So, you know, everyone always, who's at the top of the conference, who's at the bottom of the conference. We were talking about all that stuff. And after week one, I'm not sure that you can say anything if you have an opinion. So, you know, I think Gillespie returns a lot of starters and a lot of experience. So, you know, those are things we'll have to prepare for and work on this week as we head down there.
Did you come out of last night healthy?
Yes, sir. Everybody's healthy, so so far so good.
All right. Chad Easterday, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. The head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday, coming off of a very impressive win over the Hillsboro Hilltoppers last night by the final of 35-0. Let's run down some other scores for you in the Sangamo Conference last night. Moreau Forsyth beat North Mac 35-6. Auburn over New Berlin 26-20. Williamsville beat Athens 33-14. Pleasant Plains over Porta 21-6. And Pittsfield, who has taken their lumps in the Sangamo Conference over the years since they joined, they thumped Riverton last night 51-7. The Prairie State was in non-conference mode last night in week one. Nokomis picked up a win over Sullivan 22-13. We're hoping to catch up with Paul Watson a little bit later in the hour here on Sports Saturday. South Mac went over to Vandalia, Missouri and got shut out 32-0. Shelbyville beat Pawnee 38-20. Clinton blanked South Fork 49-0. Trenton Westland winners over Dupo by the final of 48-38. Bree Central survived Wood River 12-6, and Civic Memorial beat Alton Marquette 28-13. In the WIVC, it was North against South last night. Greenfield Northwestern beat Minden Unity 18-13. Beardstown over Pleasant Hill 48-22. Camp Point Central shut out Calhoun 42-0. Triopia, they upended Carrollton 22-14. Jacksonville route crushed North Green 42-6, and Brown County beat West Central 14-6. We're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. More to do. We're going to talk to Hillsboro head coach Aaron Duff following these messages on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Going to catch up with Aaron Duff in just a moment here, hopefully, on Sports Saturday. As the Toppers last night lost 35-0. They turned it over 7 times, and all of Carlinville's scores came off of the short field as they were able to capitalize on the turnovers. And a big moment in the game came early in the second quarter. Carlinville had just scored with 5 seconds to go in the first quarter to take a 7-0 lead. The Cavaliers are driving, and Liam Dugan comes up with a huge interception inside of the 20-yard line. And on the run back, he then fumbled the football, which Carlinville recovered at the top of 40, and then they punched it into the end zone a few plays later and led 14-0. And after that, it was uphill for Hillsborough, and they were not really able to recover after that crazy sequence. And just think about how deflating that is when you think you've come up with the big turnover to maybe switch that momentum of the game, and then you give it right back to Carlinville on your side of the field. And we have Aaron Duff on the phone right now. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning.
I was just talking about that sequence, and in a lot of ways, it was the sequence of the game last night. Early second quarter, 7-0. Dugan comes up with a big interception, but then fumbles it on the run back. Just kind of talk about that play and how, in some ways, it seemed to really turn the momentum of the ball game.
Yeah, it sure did. All 7 turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, 7 turnovers is obviously a lot, and we'll get to those. But the first one, boy, that really hurt.
Yeah, you know, Liam made a great play, nice interception, run, and then, ball squirted out on the when he got tackled there. So, yeah, that was a tough one. You know, Carlinville's good. We knew that going in. Me and Coach Stritzel were just talking. We think Carlinville's better this year than last. And even with that, I was very happy with our kids' effort. We were only down 14-0 at halftime with a couple of turnovers. So we're going to get better for sure. We take them turnovers out and, we'll thankfully just fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can really take a lot of positives away from that game, and Carlinville never really had a long sustained drive against your defense. They did what good teams do. They took advantage of your mistakes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that turnover, that really hurts, and, they got a couple good field positions out of them. And you know, they've got some athletes on the perimeter. I mean, the Ambule kid, Dixon, the other couple receivers are all over 6 foot and good looking kids and athletic. Like I said, I went back at last night, and like a coach does after you get beat and try to check stuff out. And we thought that our kids did a really good job with effort. We had 13 guys that counted last night. It was their very first varsity football game last night. So a lot of, they're juniors and seniors, but there's 13 of them that first Friday night lights, love nerves, all kinds of stuff can happen. So effort wise, I thought our kids did great against a really good football team.
And one young man who was not experiencing his first Friday nights was Jordan Gregg. And in a conference full of great football players, he might wind up being the toughest kid to try and block. Man, he's a handful.
Yep. Jordan does a really good job. Big kid, athletically talented, smart kid. We put him out on the edge. It's hard to match up, and then Carlinville, I sort of thought that's what they would do. They put Dixon out there on him a lot, and Jordan still competed very well.
And there was an interesting sequence in that game, Coach, where Liam Dugan was in the backfield, and then the vomit came. Have you experienced that too much?
Oh yeah, I've seen it happen a few times. Right before, in between series, he just went over and downed a bunch of water, and then he went out there and just had a full stomach. And we had one long play right before that, and we took him out that play. He goes, "Yeah, that was a mistake. I'll never do that again."
Live and learn, I guess, right?
Yep.
Duffy, I thought that Caden Lemon had a nice ball game for you. He made a heck of a diving catch on your sideline. That was a beautiful play.
If every kid we had that little kid's heart and tenacity, we would be, something to deal with. Caden Lemon does nothing but work hard for you. He's not the biggest guy, but he gives you everything he has, and he's a good ball player.
Well, you started at Carlinville last night. Now you go on the road next week to Vandalia, always a tough place to play. The Miners went up there last night and gave Vandalia a really good ball game.
Yeah, I saw that score. I knew Gillespie was going to be better this year as well. I haven't watched the film all the way yet, but every week I think this year our conference is one of the toughest I've seen it, I in my opinion right now, from what I'm hearing. And it's going to be a battle every week, so we got to get better now, get our experience fast. I guess learn by fire is what you say, I guess. I don't know. But we've got a tough game again with Vandalia.
Duffy, is your message to your team this morning as simple as, boys, if you take care of the football, you're going to be in a lot of football games?
Oh, yeah. If we take care of the football and we're going to clean up, the few mental mistakes out there that happens in game one, the nerves, a little bit of technique stuff here and there on some things that we've seen. We take care of that and just, we talked to the kids last night after games, not where you start, it's where you finish. And we're just going to keep coaching and keep working hard. And like I said, our kids' effort is there. We got a great group of kids, and we're going to be in all the ball games.
Absolutely. Duffy, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and Hillsboro will be at Vandalia next Friday night. We'll have that game live at 7 o'clock on FM 106. Our second broadcast feature next week, we'll have Carlinville traveling to Gillespie. That'll come your way around 9:30. The Pizza Man pregame show will kick it all off at 6:30 Friday night here on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Other high school activities today on the sports docket. The Lady Shells volleyball tournament at Roxana will conclude today. The championship bracket semifinals will begin at 11 o'clock this morning. Jerseyville will take on Brussels, and then Southwestern, perhaps a surprise team in the semifinals. They will face Roxana at noon. The third place game is at 1. The championship game will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Roxana Shells volleyball tournament. That is really a great early season tournament. A lot of good teams in that Lady Shells tournament at Roxana. Well, last night, the Prairie State Conference, they were out of conference. They were in non-conference mode. And Nokomis, they took on Sullivan last night and picked up a 22-13 win. And joining us on the phone right now is Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you, and it's always great to pick up that win in week one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It kind of helps out for the rest of the year. You get that first win out of the way early.
Talk a little bit about the atmosphere last night. First game of the year at home. Just what did you see from your club?
A lot of good things. Of course, there's a lot of things we've got to work on, to assignment stuff and, missed tackles, a few blocks that we got to get fixed. But overall, it's pleased.
The first week in football is always so interesting because there is obviously no preseason, not that there isn't any high school sport, but it's hard to replicate the speed and the energy that you get when the games count.
Oh, absolutely. And then plus, you're going to get a team that we've never played in Sullivan, and, they got a new coach this year, so going in, we weren't really for sure exactly what we were going to see either side of the ball. So, it was kind of tricky.
Talk a little bit about some of the key contributors for you last night on both sides of the football.
Oh, yeah. We got Alex Cassetti, a quarterback. He threw for over 200. And Hayden Brown had about 150 receiving yards of that. And line-wise, we did a decent job up there. But that's probably one of the things that we're going to work on a lot this week. We got to get that ball, running the ball more. We had about 105 rushing yards, but a lot of that was actually Cassetti running the ball. So overall, not bad.
And line play is so critical. If the offensive line isn't functioning as one unit, it's going to be hard to move the football.
Oh, absolutely. And we're young. We've got four juniors and a sophomore that's starting down there. So it's a learning process.
And when you have an offensive line that has no seniors, boy, that really bodes well for moving forward. But as you look at that group this year, that will be a completely different line by the middle of the season than it was last night in terms of the experience and the confidence.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm hoping that'll start next week when we go to, or we're at home against Central A&M. And like I said, there's a lot of good things. It's just, little details that we're going to get fixed this week and go forward with it next week.
Were you able to come out of last night relatively healthy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we, just your typical bumps and bruises. Other than that, we are healthy.
So, entering your third year now with Nokomis, do you have you obviously have a better feel for the team and everything that goes about it, but when you get off to a 1-0 start, that just, it makes breakfast taste better on Saturday morning. It just makes everything better.
No, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, in my third year here, and And we didn't switch too much up on the defensive side from Coach Gabe, but offensively, you know, we went more to spread shotgun offense, and you know, third year of these kids doing it in the program, and they're more comfortable with it and know what's expected of them. So it was, you know, I was pleased. We didn't have very many penalties last night. So, and then we won the turnover battle as well.
Yeah, keep the penalties down and win the turnovers. You're going to win a lot of games this year, Coach. And it's amazing how high school offenses have changed over the last several years, where the spread offense has become kind of the norm.
Oh, yeah, it has been. And that was, you know, Sullivan was running, you know, kind of a version of our offense as well. So that kind of helped out. We knew, you know, going against, you know, us in practice. So we was able to kind of jump right into that and adapt to what they were running real easy.
No, Central A&M won last night. What do you know about them, if anything, at this point?
You know, a good quarterback. They got a good skilled kid out there. I think their line is pretty big and strong. So haven't been able to watch film on them yet, but just from hearing from, you know, from the grapevine a little bit about, I think it's the Heaton kid at quarterback and the Parity kid that's out there. So, you know, we've got to take care of them and just do what we got to do to win the game.
And I guess for this week, it's a matter of just keeping your focus on Central A&M because you got a conference game with Marquette in week three.
Absolutely. You know, and that's just one week at a time. And that's what we tell the kids, you know, one play, one week, and don't worry about, you know, Marquette or anybody else later down the road. We just got to take care of business this week, and then we'll worry about next week then.
All right. Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and good luck next week, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Nokomis off to a 1-0 start after their win against Sullivan last night. Some other scores from around the area in week one. Taylorville beat Mount Vernon 20-8. Mattoon over Triad 28-23. Canton beat Charleston 14-6. Breeze Modern Day topped Effingham 26-19. Lincoln over Macomb 20-13. Washington beat Muhammad Seymour 52-7. And Mount Zion beat Bartonville Limestone 12-6. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. More to come following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on this Saturday morning on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. It's been a busy couple of days at Carletonville High School. Of course, they opened the season last night at home against Hillsboro on the football field, and today they're hosting a volleyball tournament and a soccer tournament. The Carletonville Volleyball Classic is underway as Carletonville is taking on Athens. That match started at 9 o'clock. Carrollton will face Trenton Westglen at 10, then the third place game at 11 with a championship game at noon. The boys soccer Carletonville Kickoff Classic is also underway this morning and Lott Field, Hillsboro facing Gillespie. That match underway right now at Davis Anderson Field. Lincolnwood is taking on Staunton. That match also just underway. At 10:30 this morning, Carletonville will face Roxana at Lott Field. It'll be Father McGivney against Wood River at Davis Anderson Field. At noon, Lincolnwood takes on Southeast at Lott Field. Hillsboro will face Lutheran on Davis Anderson Field. Then at 1:30, it'll be Wood River against Jersey at Lott Field. At Davis Anderson Field, Roxana against Athens at 1:30. Then at 3 o'clock, Gillespie will face Springfield Lutheran, that game at Lott Field. On Davis Anderson Field at 3, it'll be Staunton against Southeast. And then at 4:30 at Lott Field, Carletonville faces Athens. At Davis Anderson Field, it'll be Jersey against Father McGivney. And that is all pool play action today at the Carletonville Kickoff Classic. Well, we talked to Tom Priddle last week, and they weren't sure what the status of the football team would be. The decision came down on Monday that they would have their varsity football season, and Tom Priddle joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing well, and I guess kind of take us through the week that was for the Litchfield football program where the official decision comes down on Monday. So what was it like from Monday afternoon to Friday night?
Well, it was a lot of excitement this week. The school's really getting behind it. The parents and players, boy, they really amped it up this week. Everybody just, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz in the air about football this week, and it's kind of exciting to see here in Litchfield.
Absolutely, and your numbers continue to go up, do they not?
Yes, they do. We're now up to 26 on our roster, and of course we're waiting for the acclimation period for some of those kids, but Yeah, they continue to grow.
And as we look at last night's game, obviously the final score is not what you were looking for. You lost 48 to nothing, but in a lot of ways, the score is irrelevant to what happened last night.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, we're always wanting to win, of course, but we really just wanted to come out and perform and just play some good football. And the kids come out against all odds, had their backs against the wall, and they did what we wanted them to do. And got a lot of compliments from the fans, got the compliments from coaches that were watching outside, and said that, yeah, they've seen a lot of good things. But, you know, it's a lot of mistakes and stuff that's going to be cleaned up. But that comes with a young team, so... you know, and my hat's off to Staunton and their coaches and stuff too. You know, they could have really took advantage of us and put us down, and they didn't. So they were a real class act last night.
And Tom, this is such a tough, hard-nosed, physical league that week in, week out, you guys are going to kind of be up against it physically because you have a lot of young kids on your roster.
Yep, yep, and you know, and again, I've always said this, I think SCC is probably one of the top conferences in the state, and, you know, coming in with a freshman team and, mostly freshman team and trying to compete with that is, next to impossible. But, you know, the kids rose to the challenge, and, they'll be better for it one day.
Coach, I guess the key for you this year is just going to be able to obviously stay healthy, but to keep the morale of this young team up. So what are some of the challenges that you're going to be presented with as this season goes along to make sure that your freshmen in particular recognize that this is about building for something in the future?
Well, and they already know that. These kids know that they're building for their future. You know, the freshmen are that's what's so great about this group of kids is, like, the freshmen know that they're doing this for their seniors. And with the kids behind them, they're going to know that, hey, you know, we're going to have to step up for our seniors whenever, you know, they get to be upperclassmen and stuff. So, you know, yeah, my hat's off to them and their parents as well because they really rose to that challenge.
Tim, I know you don't have too many seniors on the roster this year, but talk about that group of seniors you do have this year. They're showing a lot of guts and moxie by coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, like I said, I just can't say enough about them. You know, they come to work every day. You know, like I said, I just can't say enough about them. They come. They know that the challenges that are ahead of them, and they accept that challenge. They just want to come out and play football.
And we mentioned it a little bit with you last week, but it's hard to show up to practice every day and put in the hard work that is required when you know that more likely than not, the Friday night experience isn't going to go as you would like it to go. But this is all about life, because a lot of times life don't go like you want it to go.
Yep, and that's exactly right. You know, we're building young men for the future. You know, no matter which way we look at it, we're building to make them good fathers, husbands, and employers and stuff like that. So it's about building, I guess, pillars of the community. And, you know, there's a lot of kids this year that really want to be a part of that.
You mentioned the enthusiasm around the program, and that's one thing you can say about the Litchfield football fan base is they have always come out in big numbers in support of the Purple Panthers, and they're going to be out in full force again next week when you guys host Southwestern.
Yep, and they sure will, and like I said, the stands were full last night, so that just tells you that the community is on board with this football team, and I foresee it in the future only to continually grow and get behind this young football team and do some great things in the future.
Excellent. Tom Priddle, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir.
Yep, have a good day, guys.
All right, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Tom Priddle, and he's got the exact approach that you have to have in a situation that Litchfield is in this year because, just to be honest, it's going to be a long year on the field on Friday nights for the Litchfield Purple Panthers. But if they can keep their heads up, continue to work hard, and this young group of players can grow throughout the year, in a couple of years, hopefully they will get the fruits of what they're going through this year when they're probably going to get more thorns than anything else. But you heard Coach Prito mention about Staunton, how they handled it last night. And there's going to be a lot of situations this year where the opponent of Litchfield is going to have an opportunity to show good sportsmanship and take care of business the right way. This is why the running clock is a rule in high school football. You do what you got to do to get up by 40 to get the clock running. And then after that, you really do have to kind of pull the reins back a little bit and recognize what the situation is. And it sounds like Staunton did exactly that last night. We hope to catch up with Staunton head coach Zachary Ferguson here in a little bit on Sports Saturday. Hopefully going to be able to make contact with Gillespie head coach Jacob Bilbrook, as well as the Miners last night went up to Vandalia. Vandalia, I think, was ranked 8th in the 3A poll to start the year. And we all know that preseason polls in high school sports don't mean a whole heck of a lot. A lot of it is based on what you did the previous year. But nonetheless, Vandalia was ranked 8th in the 3A poll. And Vandalia is always one of those teams. It doesn't seem they're ever bad. They're good, and then they're just tough and hard-nosed. And last night, Gillespie goes up to Vandalia, which I've always thought Vandalia and Pena, two of the tougher places to play in the South Central Conference, and they were right with the Vandals tooth and nail. They wound up losing it by the final of 30-22, but I would think that that is a game that Gillespie can take a lot of confidence away from, and nobody ever wants to lose, and when you lose a close, tough game like that, it can be heart-wrenching and tough to handle. But when you think about just week one for Gillespie to go into a place like Vandalia and put up the performance that they did, that is a great effort for the Gillespie Miners. It doesn't get any easier, though, for Gillespie. They've got Carthenville coming to town last night, and I thought it was interesting when we were talking to Aaron Duff. He was talking with his staff this morning, and just in their opinion, they think Carthenville might be better than they were last year, and that is a statement that will get the attention of everybody in the South Central Conference, because Carthenville has been on a heck of a run here the last several years. Chad Easterday has taken a great program and really elevated it to a different type of level the last 3 to 4 years, now in his 11th year as the head coach. But they were state runner-up 2 years ago, state quarterfinalist last year, and they just might be better this year, which really is a terrifying thought for the rest of the South Central Conference. And that'll be an interesting matchup next week. If Gillespie can compete with Carthenville, and even if they lose next week to Carthenville, if they compete with the Cavaliers and they sit at 0-2 with a great effort at Vandalia and a good effort against Carthenville, Gillespie's going to feel very good going into Pena the following week. And we talked with Jacob Bilbrook last week on the preview show just about the brutal start to their season at Vandalia, home to Carthenville at Pena. That's about as tough as it can get in the South Central Conference. And so far, the Miners, solid showing last night. We'll see what they're able to do next week when they host the Carthenville Cavaliers. I was talking a little bit about the Roxana Volleyball Tournament. The 9th place bracket is underway right now. Granite City and Woodover in the high school gym. Bunker Hill facing Father McGivney in the auxiliary gym. The 9th place game will be at 10 o'clock this morning in the high school gym. The 11th place game also at 10 o'clock in the auxiliary gymnasium. Well, last night we talked about the Prairie State being out of conference, and forget about out of conference. South Mac went out of state. They traveled over to Vandalia, Missouri, and they took the loss last night, 32-0. On the phone right now is their head coach, Brian Borkowski. And coach, I'm sure that was an interesting experience last night.
Yeah, it was quite the travel. We took a bunch of country back roads. I'm still not quite sure where we ended up or where we were. But, yeah, it was a tough loss for us. With a young team like we have, you really don't know what you have until you can see them play a live competition on the field. And, I thought we had some young kids that battled hard, did some good things, but at the end of the night, it wasn't enough.
I mean, football is football, but it had to be a little different being in Missouri opposed to Illinois.
It was. There's some different things. For example, you know, they do this weird thing where you get like a water timeout once each quarter. That's for both teams, and we weren't used to that. That kind of threw us off our game. Being a no-huddle, kind of a hurry-up offense, we kept wanting to push the ball, and then right in the middle of the quarter, it was a Missouri high school thing. I mean, that's not what cost us the game or anything,
right,
but it's just little tweaks like that are kind of difficult to get used to.
Yeah, most definitely. And as you kind of evaluate your effort last night. What did you see from your team that you liked and maybe that you didn't like so much?
I thought defensively we played pretty well. I know the score wouldn't indicate that, but watching film this morning, I thought that we had some people in some good positions. It's just a matter of we didn't wrap up extraordinarily well, and that kind of caused us to give up more yards than we probably should. We suffered a big loss last night early, especially with the young team. You know, kind of got in their minds a little bit. Our starting tailback, Evan Morris, dislocated his hip on a kind of a freak play. He landed on it funny. So, you know, bringing the ambulance out to the field and loading him up on it, and that, you know, that kind of was deflating for us, especially early. I thought we battled back. It was 6-0 them most of the game until about the second quarter when they scored a second one. We kept them out of the end zone on the two-point conversion. So at halftime, we were only down 12-0, and I felt like we were in a pretty decent position to come back. But it just didn't go our way.
Coach, I don't know how much you can disclose medically, but that is an odd situation, being that far away from home in a different state. Was Evan able to go back with you guys last night?
No, he went to a regional medical center actually in Hannibal, which is like an hour and some things away. So we, an assistant coach and I drove over after the game to visit him, and he was in good spirits. We're looking, you know, if everything goes smoothly with the rehab, he's probably going to be back 3 to 5 weeks. We have some guys that can fill in that position, but certainly, you know, losing him as a defender and as a primary running back was difficult.
Yeah, Hannibal's a cool place, but not under those circumstances.
No, it's not. And when you're rolling through there at like 1 o'clock in the morning, it's just not much to see anyway.
No, not at all. You mentioned some tackling issues, and I would imagine that's a byproduct of the first week, clearly. But with your numbers a little bit down from what they were a year ago, it's hard to get that type of work in that preseason practice.
Yeah, it is. It's a little difficult. Again, like I mentioned last week, we do some things to kind of control the amount of contact, and we still get contact in at least 2 days a week. Tuesday, Wednesday are usually our full padded contact days. So we will do a lot of form tackling on bags, and we have one live period every day in a kind of a controlled environment. So we put the work in, but obviously we have more work yet to do.
And Sangamon Valley is going to seem like a short trip next week.
Yeah, not too bad. And Pawnee after that. So things will settle down for us a little bit. You know, we're going to scout Sangamon Valley today. We've got the exchange set up. It should hopefully be coming in any time now. And we'll evaluate that and put a scheme in place and try to shuffle some people around to make sure we have the best people in the best spots. And, you know, just keep plugging away at it, and then hopefully we come out next week with a W.
Sounds good. Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and good luck next week.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers. And, David, that is a rough situation there. Hopefully Evan Morris is okay. But, man, you take a long trip like that, you wind up in Missouri, and the next thing you know, you're in Hannibal in a hospital. Holy cow.
You've been near there, right, with the trip to Pittsfield?
That is true, yeah. That's how far Pittsfield is away. When you get close to the Pittsfield High School, all of a sudden you see a sign that says, turn right, go to Hannibal. What?
That's Mark Twain country.
That is Mark Twain country. That's exactly right.
Or Samuel Clemens, I should say.
Yes.
That's right.
I was always a Huck Finn guy, though.
Were you?
I was.
I've never read the book. I started it, I think. And
never read the book?
Yeah. Or no, I'm sorry. I started Tom Sawyer and then didn't finish it.
Okay. Hey, we need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. More to do when we come back following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. We're happy to have on the phone right now the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Jacob Bilbrook. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Heck of a ball game last night. You got the loss, but you have to be happy. Tough place like Vandalia with the way your club competed.
Yeah, we played pretty well. You know, we had a chance there to go down to Vandalia and come away with a W, and you know, we all expected to get the W, and you know, I thought that our kids played hard, played well for a full 48, and that's all we could ask them to do. It didn't go our way at the end, but yeah, we're gonna build on that for sure.
As you've watched the film and kind of thought about it here overnight, what was the difference?
Well, we were able to minimize our penalties, unlike last season. We had zero pre-snap penalties, which is, you know, might not sound like a big deal, but coming back with, you know, pretty much everybody that we had, you know, last year that was kind of an issue for us, and you know, we were able to nip that in the bud. We had, you know, and we had none. So you know, that was a big victory for us. We still turned the ball over twice inside the 25. I thought that you know, those types of things are big things that determine the outcome of the game. And you know, a couple bounces went our way and a couple bounces didn't go our way. So you know, that's something that we're going to look to correct here in the next couple weeks.
And for week one to have no pre-snap penalties, that is very impressive.
Yeah, we were happy about that. You know, we did so many things right. Like I said, you know, I thought we played well enough to win the game. You know, they had a couple turnovers. We had a couple turnovers. But, you know, like I said, we just weren't able to get that last one in there at the end of the game.
We talked last week about just the brutal start to your season at Vandalia, home to Carlinville, and at Pena. And I would imagine with that showing last night, you and your team have to be brimming with confidence as you head into your home date with Carlinville Friday night.
Yeah, I told the kids, I mean, we're 0-1. You know, everybody, you know, we all expected to walk out of there 1-0, but you know, I'm not real big on moral victories if it doesn't show up on the scoreboard, but you know, what I was most proud about was our attitude for the full 48. I thought that our kids played hard. You know, one of our things that we teach around here is to finish on empty, and I thought we did that.
And so much of football, the word you used is attitude. You got to have that attitude, believing that you're going to go in each and every Friday night and get the job done. And that is really something, as you start to rebuild this Gillespie program, that may be the most important thing, attitude.
Yeah, and I liked what I saw with our attitude last night. We had some guys pushing each other, holding each other accountable, you know, really getting after it, really getting after the, you know, the opposition. And I do like where attitude is at. I think we're heading in the right direction with that. You know, football's a violent game, and, you know, I think that we found a little bit of violence last night and, you know, started hitting some people. And, you know, we're definitely looking to turn the corner from finishing last in the conference defensively last year.
As you start to now turn your page and focus on Carlinville, you know they're going to come in with that high-powered offense. So defensively, you're going to be tested next week.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, coaches know that, kids know that. You know, they've got playmakers just like we do. And, you know, it's going to be our job to kind of minimize, hopefully, what they can do. And, you know, I don't know if you can totally shut them down, but if we can slow them down enough and, you know, maybe get a couple breaks our way here and there, you know, I like our chances.
As you look at talk about the youth of your team, and I remember last year, it's rare to see freshmen contribute at the varsity level. Anthony Cravagna did that for you last year, and I would imagine you have big expectations for him this year.
Yeah, Anthony is a junior now. He did play some varsity for us, you know, 2 years ago. He returned kicks and kind of got a little taste of what, you know, what varsity football is like. And you know, last year he was a really good offensive player for us. And this year he's turned the corner and he's become a good offensive player and a good defensive player for us and a good special team. I mean, he's just a good football player for us. So, I like where he's at. I like where, you know, the rest of the team is at. And like I said, they held each other accountable last night. They were getting after each other, and I liked our attitude.
And when you have the players starting to hold their teammates accountable, the coaches can only do so much. At some point, the players have to take ownership of it.
Yeah, and you're right. I think that our coaching staff does a great job of keeping things positive. I mean, you know, we don't say something unless it's you know, going to be worthwhile for the kids to hear. And you know, sometimes you know, being your own critic is good, and especially when you have other, you know, your peers around you telling you, you know, hey, you know, I know you can do better than that. Pick it up. And you know, we had some of that last night, and our attitude is totally different. And that, like I said, that's something that I'm pretty proud of, and we got to keep it rolling.
Sounds good. Jacob, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And, David, it's all, I guess, running together for me now. Anthony Cravagna is already a junior.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Penalty. Yep. A pre-snap penalty on me.
We're going to have to keep you out of the show next week for the first 5 minutes.
I'm benched.
Yep. Benched.
I'm benched.
5 minute suspension. We'll have to mute your mic.
It's, you know, it's one of those things, like, for a kid like Krivanya, he's played since he was a freshman, and when you play so much in multiple sports as a freshman, it, eventually it's like, he's still there?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. You, players, and some are like that. It's hard to believe that they're there for so long. Some, you can't believe that their high school career goes so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the person.
He can go either way, and you could hear it in Coach Billbrook's voice there. They had a chance to win that football game last night, so
they expected to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something.
That says a lot when you go in and expect to win, not just expect to compete, but expect to win. And when you expect to win and you get so close to winning, like he said, they're not into the moral victories.
Right.
They had a chance to get DW last night and came up a little bit short. So it'll be very interesting to see how they respond in practice this week with Carlinville coming into town. And I was really interested to hear Duffy say, David, that in his opinion, Carlinville is better this year than they were last year.
That's saying something.
That is saying a lot.
Because last year, granted, they didn't have the postseason success that they had the year prior, but last year's team, I think you could probably make the case, might have been better than the runner-up team they had. I mean, the runner-up team had Jacob Dixon, but
right.
As a team, they might have been a better team last year.
I think there's a very strong case to be made there, and no matter what level of sport it is, it's, you can't just say X team was better than Y team because they won more games or right. because they went deeper in the playoffs. And I think the Carlinville team last year, confidence-wise, was able to build off what they had done the year before. And now, we've talked about it last night on the broadcast, and we mentioned it with Chad a little bit. So many seniors on this team for Carlinville this year that their expectations are nothing short of getting back to the state championship game.
Yeah, and that's the way, when you've got an elite program like that, that's the mindset that you have to have. You know, their first hurdle, essentially, that they were able to get over a couple years ago was getting past the second round of the playoffs. Now that they're past that, they have all the confidence in the world that they can't be stopped. I mean, the next hurdle, per se, might be, you know, winning the championship. And that's a good hurdle to have.
That's a nice hurdle to have. Just got to avoid those private schools.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because they're not really going away.
No. Not anytime soon. Yeah. Thought it was interesting to hear Brian Borkowski talk about just one of the little differences between Missouri and Illinois. We'll see that in Illinois when it's very hot and humid where you'll have water breaks, but it's not something that is official. It's just kind of something that they will do on a given night just if the temperature requires it. But in Missouri, that is just standard.
No, that's right. And you're going and traveling to your own weather pattern, too, because who knows what the weather was like over there compared to here. So it could have been hotter than it was here, but
well, I mean, they weren't going to Georgia.
No, you're right, but it's not really close to this area.
It's all different.
Yeah, so it's more like traveling to a playoff game on a Friday night, mind you. I mean, to schedule a team from Missouri and play them in season is one thing, but to play them on a Friday night, usually those games are held till Saturday. But a lot of in the area Missouri-Illinois matchups, because in the Metro East there are a lot of those where some of the Illinois teams went to Missouri, some of the Missouri teams went to Illinois. And then you got East St. Louis is going to Detroit today.
Go figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see that thing that it was on Fox Sports 1 about the East St. Louis football program a few years ago?
I have not watched that. I want to watch it. I have not
really
watched it
yet. Good. I can't remember what it was called now.
Yeah.
I still have it on my DVR, but it was really, really good. It was a fascinating insight into that program.
Yeah, it's produced by LeBron James. I can't remember what it's called either, but I know what you're talking about. I want to see it. I have not seen
it
yet.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. It was very good. And it was cool just to see an Illinois program getting profiled like that, because they had expectations of state championship or bust all year, and they had a lot of different hurdles that they had to overcome, and they wound up overcoming those hurdles and winning the championship. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend seeing it. Unfortunately, I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah. Well, up until like a couple of years ago, I think, I don't want to say they were the forgotten team in the conference, but I feel like a lot of people talked about Edwardsville as the power in the conference, and not as many people talked about East St. Louis. But
well, Edwardsville was the power in the conference for a number of years there, and of course, East St. Louis has that football tradition that goes way back. It was always back in the day, East St. Louis High was the football school, East St. Louis Lincoln was the basketball school. That's how that broke down back in the day, but obviously now it's all just one school.
And speaking of Edwardsville, they did not lose in a running clock game last night.
Learned their lesson, didn't they?
They did. They were up 42-0 at half, and they still scored in the second half.
So. Pedal to the metal.
That's right.
We're not letting up tonight. Exactly. Thanks to all of our area coaches that joined us on Sports Saturday this morning. Our broadcast from last night, Carlinville, Hillsborough, Staunton, Litchfield, are podcasted at WSMIRadio.com. We'll have Hillsborough at Vandalia live next week at 7. Carlinville at Gillespie will follow around 9:30. The Pizza Man pregame show with David Jenkins kicks off our high school football coverage every Friday night, 6:30, on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.